Forks and Spoons, Knives and Other Cutlery. I'm your host, Christina.
And I'm Tori.
And this is episode 12 of Cullen the Shots, the podcast where we reminisce on the good old Twilight days. Woo! So I started that woo and I could feel my voice just really straining to get there.
I love how it's been 12 episodes and we haven't thought of something better than woo!
I'm pretty sure I do this same type of greeting in my other podcast, so that just shows once I come up with a thing, like I just keep at it consistently.
We love the woo.
I mean, the woo works. We have yet another icebreaker quiz for you listeners to listen to us talk about. It's titled The Twilight Universe is Complicated, so I bet you can't get 9 out of 10 on this quiz about it. It's from BuzzFeed, which is our main source of quizzes. And honestly, we chose this quiz because at first we thought it was the most recent one, but then we just realized that it's just another quiz that we haven't done before. So, you know, that's fine. It says that this quiz is going to be complicated, and we were like, oh, okay, that works. Because the end of this book, which is Eclipse, is also pretty complicated. So that's how we connected the thoughts together. Tori, can you read the first question?
I can do that. Which of these is not a power that all vampires have? Super speed, super smell, mind reading, or supernatural beauty?
Wait, what? Not a power.
Which one do they not all have? So mind reading would be the only one that they don't all have.
Oh, okay.
I think they're trying to trick us a little bit.
I was like, but not all vampires have powers. Okay, I got you. I got you. This is a trick. Or maybe I'm just really dumb today. Okay, mind reading. It says only some vampires like Edward have mind reading powers. True or false? Vampires who don't drink blood are called vegetarians.
False. Vampires drink blood. They just don't drink human blood if they're vegetarians.
I feel like I'm really dumb today. Wait, hold on, what?
I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking too much into this. I don't know.
No, I think you're right. I think I'm just dumb because I read it and was like, vampires who don't drink blood are called vegetarians.
Now I'm confused. I thought I knew. Wait, now I don't.
Is it false? I think you're right. I think it's false. I'm going to say false.
Yes, it's false. Vegetarian vampires still drink blood. It's just animal blood instead of human.
Okay. I think I'm just dumb today. Wow.
This is kind of difficult. They're like, maybe we're both dumb. I don't know. People are going to listen to this and be like, this is the easiest quiz I've ever heard.
The way it's worded is really tripping me up. I feel like I'm taking an exam right now, which I did not expect.
All right. What is the one true weakness of vampires? Holy water, garlic, sunlight, or fire? I guess it would be fire, but I don't understand why. I don't know if they explain that. I just know you have to set them on fire to get rid of them.
That's true. Although part of me was like, shouldn't the answer be blood? Like,
I mean, yeah, that's the weakness, not like what will kill it.
Mm-hmm. I guess you're right. Fire. Part of me wanted to say sunlight, but I guess they just stay away from it so that they don't expose themselves. Yeah. Fire. It's fire. At least in the books, a vampire can only be killed with fire. I just feel extra dumb today. Next is, what's the name of the species in the picture? And the picture is of some wolves, of some big doggies. Suggested answers are puppers, children of the moon, true werewolves, or shapeshifters. What?
Not children of the moon. Or
puppers. Not puppers.
I would assume it's shapeshifters, but also weren't they originally wolves? So would they be true werewolves? Or are they shapeshifters? They're shapeshifters.
They shift shapes from a human to a wolf.
Yeah.
Isn't werewolf a part wolf, part human, though?
So aren't they technically also true werewolves?
Ugh.
Oh, I'm tired.
This is so dumb. We're dumb, Tori.
This is really making me question my logic skills.
I don't know who I am anymore. I think they're shapeshifters.
I think they're shapeshifters too.
Even though my initial thought was werewolves? I think it's shapeshifter. Yeah. These are the Quileute tribe members who can turn into wolves, unlike the children of the moon who are considered true werewolves. What?
What is that?
Who is that?
Who are those?
What are those?
I think we're missing something. All right. How can you identify a newborn vampire? Their lack of thirst, their heartbeat, their eyes, or their slowness?
Their eyes?
Yeah, their eyes, I guess.
Their slowness. That's me.
Aren't their eyes bright red? But how is that any different than just like a hungry human killing vampire?
I don't know.
They're the reddest of reds.
The rubiest of reds.
Oh, they answer my question. While experienced vampires have dark burgundy, gold, or black eyes, a newborn eyes are always bright red. Whatever that means.
Which of these is not a rule enforced by the Volturi? Is it children cannot be turned, no killing other vampires, werewolf interaction is forbidden, or do not draw suspicion? Is not a rule enforced by the Volturi. Okay, so the main rule that the Volturi enforce is that you shouldn't draw suspicion or like expose yourself as being a vampire.
Is it the werewolf one? Because at least at this point, I don't know if the Volturi know of.
I think it's the wolf one because.
But also, no killing other vampires too could be one because like the Cullens are just like able to like annihilate other vampires and it's all chill as long as no one knows. I don't know. We are too dumb for this one, I think. Maybe I should have selected a simpler one.
No, it's okay. My brain is just working extra hard today, it seems. I'm like maybe comparing it to that one part in the reading that we just did for today's episode when, and spoiler alert, after the battle has ended, Edward tells Seth to go home because Edward knew the Volturi was coming. And I can't remember if his exact words were that the Volturi I don't know if the word is believe or accept treaties, but like.
I think he was saying that they don't like recognize werewolf treaties because they don't know that werewolves exist
It because they didn't know they existed or is it because they just don't care about
I think it's
werewolves?
Because they don't know they exist. That's why the entire pack leaves.
Ew.
Also because of the treaty thing, but I think that it said that. I don't know. We'll probably figure it out as we go on.
I'm still sticking with the werewolf one. What are you gonna do?
I'll do the no killing other vampires.
Okay, let's find out who was right.
All right.
Oh, okay, you were right.
Wait, I clicked the wrong one. No, I accidentally hit the do not draw suspicion one, it was the no killing other vampires.
Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious. The only rule that the Volturi have against killing is that vampires cannot hunt humans in Volterra.
Because that's their ground. All right, true or false? A human vampire hybrid has many differences from a vampire, including a beating heart. True or false? True, I guess. Yeah, it's true. Hybrids still have blood, and they actually have a higher heart rate and body temperature than humans. Where's the logic in that?
I don't know.
I guess we'll get there when we
get there.
Be breaking down because I don't remember.
Okay. How long is a vampire considered a newborn after being changed? A week, a month, 6 months, or a year?
I'm pretty sure it's a year.
After being transformed, vampires usually finish What? Hold on.
Well,
around a year after being transformed, vampires usually finish digesting their own blood and are no longer newborns.
That's disgusting.
What? I didn't know that's what happens.
I hate that. All right, true or false? Vampires naturally gather in large groups called covens. That's false. Vampires most often travel alone or in mated pairs.
They really said, you're on your own.
For real.
Bitch. Around what time did the Volturi take control of the vampire world?
I literally do not know.
Man, who knows? Is it 500 BCE, 500 CE, 1000 CE, or 1700 CE?
I literally have not a singular clue.
What is CE?
Century.
But what's BCE?
Before this century. Before Christ existed.
Before Christ existed. So you mean it's either 500 before Christ existed or 500 Christ existed?
I'm going to go with 500 Christ existed because it seems like a safe bet to me. Oh, shit, I was wrong.
it's stated that they've been ruling the vampire world for about 25 centuries.
Woo!
Okay, well, I did get 9 out of 10.
Good job!
Woo!
I got 8 out of 10, but that was my own dumb fault.
I mean, you still technically would have gotten 9 out of 10. I think we both missed a question.
I'm impressed. Our reading comprehension skills were not great, and we still did well.
We still did well. It says you scored better than 96% of all other quiz takers, and we are an ultra-powerful vampire. You know about the Twilight vampires because you are a vampire. Wow. This was a test to see if you know enough to join the Volturi, and you passed. That was the prize? I don't want to do that.
Mine just says, nice. You still remember quite a bit about the world of Twilight, considering they were popular like a decade ago. At least rewatch the first movie in honor of the Twilight Renaissance. I just like the nice. And then it's a clip of Taylor Lautner on SNL in his Team Edward t-shirt.
Oh, mine is a clip of Emmett and Bella arm wrestling.
Oh, fun. I'm not even a vampire. I'm just nice.
Nice.
I guess you know a little bit about this shit, so we'll give you that.
Now we can go on to our summary of the third and final section of Eclipse, which is what we were tasked with reading for this week's episode. Again, I'm not going to go through what happened in sections 1 and 2. You can just listen to episodes 11 and 10.
Catch up,
loser.
Get in, loser. We're catching up on the Call in the Shots podcast.
Yeah. And if you didn't already guess, this section still there was like one point as I read this where I was like, am I reading this right?
I know.
Because I was like, hold on. Something doesn't make sense here. We'll get into that as we summarize each chapter. So we start off with chapter 20, which is titled Compromise. And it basically starts off with Bella preparing for her 2-day sleepover, quote, sleepover, with Alice. And then Charlie heads to La Push for the weekend so that he can stay out of the way of the upcoming battle, even though Charlie himself doesn't realize that's actually the reason why he's in La Push. The Cullens leave Bella and Edward alone in the house, and Bella uses this opportunity to attempt to cut herself another deal with Edward. Although, so the two of them get to the Cullen house in a manner that I wrote down, it was very like honeymoon / newlywed-esque. I couldn't remember what was the show that I was envisioning, but if you've ever watched WandaVision, I guess it's like the 1950s.
Very
show?
Like I Love Lucy feeling.
Yeah. So basically Edward carries Bella to the front door of the house and tells her welcome home, and it's all lovey-dovey and blah blah, blah. And anyway, they can't seem to keep their hands, and I put, or rather their lips, off of each other. But Edward places Bella back onto the ground and out of his arms, and then he hands her a present, promising that it's a hand-me-down so that she doesn't make a big deal of it. And this gift that he gave her ended up being a crystal heart charm that she could add to the original bracelet that Jacob gave her for her graduation. Edward gives her this whole spiel about how the gift once belonged to his mother and how Bella has possession of his heart, which is really sweet and cute and romantic. And afterwards he asks her what it was that she wanted to negotiate, and Bella, oh my dear Bella, she attempts to physically demonstrate what it is that she wants, but Edward catches wind of what it is that Bella's after, and he doesn't actually take it well and tries to stop her from going further. Basically, Bella wants to have sex with Edward while she's still human, but Edward's afraid that he's going to hurt her. He actually would rather that they attempt to go at it after Bella's been transformed into a vampire, and also after she's calmed down from being a newborn. But Bella worries that she, in her non-human state, won't be the same type of Bella, and then she tries to pursue Edward again. Edward tells her that they can try, but just on a different evening, not that one. And the two have another go at discussing multiple topics, one of them being their souls and marriage and other things. Edward asks if he's allowed to go through the motions of a proposal so that he can do it, quote, right. And suddenly Bella is now in possession of an engagement ring that once belonged to Edward's mom. And that's how that chapter ends.
I was like so uncomfortable. She's like forcing herself onto this man and no one sees it like that, which is kind of annoying. Like, it's very clear. Well, obviously to us now, it's very clear what Jacob is doing. What Jacob is doing is wrong to Bella, you know, mm-hmm. but it's never exclusively shown that what Bella is doing is wrong too, especially because she's literally laughing at his reasons for not wanting to have sex with her. Like, yeah, people are going to look over the fact that she's doing this because she's young and pretty and a girl and she's been in a relationship with him for how long, but that doesn't take away the fact that she's trying to coerce him into having sex when he's being very clear that he does not want that. And then she gets upset and he's got to baby her and be like, "No, no, Bella, it's okay. Sir, you don't have to do that.
She's not your child." There's a lot within that. I just, like always, I'm never quite sure how to articulate my thoughts. I just know that it makes me uncomfortable. And thus, yeah. All right. Next yeah, chapter.
And that's how Bella feels too. She says she feels awkward and idiotic trying to talk about sex, but I'm sorry, if you can't talk about sex to your partner, you're not ready to have sex. And that just proves that she's not ready for all of these decisions she's making. She's about to become a vampire for some guy she can't even say the word sex in front of. Mm-hmm. That's not normal and that's not healthy.
No one's ready for this.
No, not at all. Even Edward says that he's a virgin and he wants to stay a virgin until he's married. And then we get the beautiful visual of Edward ripping a metal flower off the bedpost, yes! And crumpling it in his hand and dropping it in front of Bella, which is the most stereotypical trope of portraying virginity that there ever was. I lost it. I was like, I can't believe. Did he really do that? A flower! A black flower too! Please.
But are there any notes, other notes for this before I move on?
Other than all of that, the only other thing I was thinking is Bella is talking about how she can just hear the gossip now about when she gets married to Edward. And she says, maybe it wouldn't bug me so much if I didn't know that I would be gossiping just as condescendingly as the rest of them if it wasn't someone else getting married this summer. She's just projecting. She doesn't want to marry this man because she's projecting that everybody else is going to be so gossipy when it's really just because if Jessica was getting married, she'd be like, oh my God, can you believe that little slut? Whereas Jessica's gonna be like, oh my God, Bella's getting married. No one cares. You and Renee are the only one that give a fuck.
I know, I was gonna say, and we've said this multiple times throughout this entire, just like ever since Bella got or ever since Edward proposed to Bella, we have been just consistently saying that it wouldn't surprise anybody.
No, they know you're together. It's mm-hmm. not like you're hiding it. Marriage is the next step to normal people. Sorry, your boyfriend's a vampire weirdo, but like, these normal people want to go to a wedding and get drunk, probably.
Yeah, they want to celebrate your love, I guess. Fair. They want to celebrate your relationship, and Bella's just like, has been brainwashed by her mother and just cannot... She just cannot deal with it. All right, so now we are at chapter 21, which is titled Trails. And so after Edward's given Bella the ring for his little proposal moment, Bella gives it back to Edward. And the next morning, Edward leaves her alone for a short moment so that she can get dressed for the day and also mentally regroup. The Collins return to their house. Bella calls Jacob to let him know where they should all meet. After Bella gets off the phone, Alice asks if she and Bella can have a little chat. And basically Alice questions Bella on why she can suddenly see her and Edward getting married in Las Vegas. Alice, of course, wants to plan Bella's wedding, and Bella hates the very thought of Alice's potential plans. But moving on, Edward and Bella head out to the trail, making sure that Bella leaves her scent along the way. They end up meeting with Jacob, and Edward splits up from Bella to go in another route so that they can all get to the campsite. Jacob carries Bella and they are then on their way to the meeting point. While running, I guess, Jacob notices that there's a new heart charm on Bella's bracelet, and that triggers a whole conversation about when Jacob assaulted Bella and the whole fact that there's this whole Edward versus Jacob love interest debate, and then even why Bella prefers Wolf Jacob, or prefers being around Wolf Jacob over being around human Jacob. Bella still feels guilty for asking Edward to stay with her at the campsite and realizes that if she had asked Jacob to do the same, he would end up going to the fight anyway. And it wasn't because he loved Bella any less. Jacob just really wants to be a part of the action. Eventually, they all get to the campsite, and Edward thanks Jacob for getting Bella there safely. And then Jacob heads back to LaPush so that he can change his clothes. And that's how that chapter ends. The only note that I had was that I didn't like the way that Jacob spoke to Bella, like in that entire, as they were running to the campsite. Like, I didn't like how he spoke to her.
I don't ever like how he speaks to her.
It's very like, I don't even know how to explain it. Like, is the tone, I guess the tone is like very condescending, or he's like always trying to like pin her down into saying something that she doesn't want to say or doesn't want to admit or whatever. I don't know. I did not like the way that Jacob interacted with Bella at all in this chapter, also in other chapters, but like this chapter, it just stood out the most. But that's the only note that I have. I was like, I don't like you, Jacob. I don't like you at all.
Yeah, he like gets offended when she's like, you assaulted me. And he's like, how could you say that? Because you did. And it's so annoying because he is aware that he is a shit dude. He like says, even when I don't behave as well as I should, underneath, I will always be here. And Bella says, I know. Why else would I put up with all of your crap? And I'm not... like, this boys will be boys, Jake is harmless narrative is dangerous. I'm not blaming Bella for Jacob assaulting her. I'm blaming Stephenie Meyer for portraying assault so casually and making it seem like a joke. Bella should lighten up because big goofy Jake is the one that did it. It wasn't some scary monster in an alleyway. Like, Jake kissed me. I shouldn't be sad.
Mm-hmm. And like this whole time we consistently say that like Bella should drop Jacob because he just isn't a good person and hasn't been acting like well towards her and stuff like that, and it still holds true. I'm like, Jacob is a really shitty person, and
he really is.
Bella really does not need him in her life, no matter how much like, you know, family ties or just like long-standing history they have together. Like, that doesn't matter because he's being a horrible person to you now.
I know.
Do you have any other notes for this chapter?
The only other things that I really had were, I would feel so disrespected if I was Edward. Like, I understand he's trying to make this wedding, whatever Bella would want it to be, just as easy as it could possibly be, so she'll marry him. But she goes out of her way to mention how she'll just wear sweats to the wedding in Vegas, and she literally doesn't give a fuck. She would rather it didn't happen. She's like, oh, it'll be over in 10-15 minutes tops. Like, I just feel that's so disrespectful.
Yeah,
disrespectful to him and Alice and his and her parents and his parents and siblings and just everybody. She like has no respect because she's so embarrassed.
It's almost like unbelievable how, I guess, yeah, like you said, disrespectful Bella is with just like this whole thing in general with the wedding and the marriage and stuff like that. Like, wouldn't she want to make Edward happy?
Exactly.
And Edward wants to get married, like.
Yeah, exactly. See, that's another thing. I think it's a little uncharacteristic that she wouldn't just be like, all right, whatever you want, we'll just have a wedding, whatever. But it's interesting that she like will go out of her way to make the people that she actually loves uncomfortable or do things that they don't want to do just to make the people that she literally doesn't give a fuck about comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a problem.
It's not even people please. Like, it's at first I was like, yeah, she's like such a people pleaser, but that's not even what it is.
I think she just takes the Cullens for granted and like her family for granted. Like, they're gonna be there regardless. I don't want these people to think badly of me, like my classmates and stuff, because mm-hmm. they won't always be there. I need to have a sparkling image of me in their minds forever.
Yeah, it's like you said, she cares more about the opinions of people whose opinions don't even matter to her, and not yeah. more of thinking of those who actually care deeply about her and stuff like that. So
the only other thing I have for this chapter, I thought it was so funny when they're walking on the trail trying to leave her scent, she's like ripping out her hair
yeah.
and throwing it on the ground, and then when he's telling her she doesn't have to do that, she says, I've got a few extra I can spare. Like, what?
There's a part where where she falls and her, like, something is bleeding, and she's like, ah, they'll get a kick out of this, and she's just smearing her blood on the trail.
There are a bunch of lines in this book that I, like, lost it at just because they're so dumb like that. I've got a few extras I can spare. I was laughing for, like, a solid 5 minutes at that. I was like, why is this so funny?
It's just, like, strange to read those kind of things, too, in between with, like, all the other, like, more serious topics that are kind of brought about in each of the chapters. But, no, you're right. That was a funny part.
Just pulling out her hair. He's like, you really don't have to do that.
Edward's like, she's like,
yes, I do. I'll pull out my hair. I'll smear my blood everywhere. I'll do whatever.
Edward's like, Bella, please stop. And Bella's like, no, we have to.
No!
We gotta let the newborns know I'm here. Okay, so now we are at chapter 22, which is titled Fire and Ice. So now Bella and Edward are chilling in their little tent, but then the wind starts to get a little wild and the temperature continues to drop. So Bella is freezing and Edward's sitting at the opposite end of the tent so that Bella doesn't get even colder. Eventually, Jacob comes back with a parka for Bella, but she's still freezing. Edward tells him to go get a space heater, and Jacob gets upset. Claiming that, one, he's not a Saint Bernard, and kind of forces himself into the tent, claiming, or more rather, announcing that his entire body is a space heater. So he squeezes himself into Bella's sleeping bag to help Bella defrost. It starts to get dark later on in the day, and Bella can hear both Edward and Jacob talking to each other about her while she slowly slips into a state of unconsciousness. Jacob asks Edward if he can see more into his mind regarding Edward's thoughts and decisions from leaving Bella for the first time to when he thought that Bella had died, and that's basically it. They just, like, go back and forth, with Jacob asking Edward's questions about what he did while he was away, or his reasoning for leaving Bella in the first place, and even Edward's thoughts on just considering if Jacob would be a better fit for Bella and stuff like that.
The only thing I really have is when Jacob is going to, like, climb into the sleeping bag with Bella, Edward is apparently trying to stop him from doing this, and I do not believe that Edward would be doing that. I think that's very uncharacteristic. Edward will literally do anything for Bella. He literally even said that he wouldn't object if Bella wanted to kiss Jacob. Mm-hmm. I really highly doubt that Edward would say no to Jacob keeping her warm, especially considering how much pain she's in because she's freezing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really doubt Edward would be like, actually, no, you can't touch my girlfriend now. She might, I would rather her be dead. It's very uncharacteristic of Edward, and I don't want to say it's lazy writing, but I feel like it's a little bit of lazy writing.
The number of times I had to, like, reread a few of these sections, I can't tell if it's like when I read it I was, like, not fully focused or whatever, but I don't know, there were parts in this chapter and just this section alone where I was like, wait, did I read this correctly?
Yeah, same. I, like, didn't know if I was just spacing out because my attention span is that of a peanut or if it was actually, you know, didn't make any sense. The only other thing I have is Edward is, like, an icon. He's got some savage little lines to Jacob throughout this book, and it just makes me so happy because he's put up with so much of Jacob's shit, and I, like, love that Jacob can't handle, like, a taste of his own medicine. Edward is explaining that Jacob might leave Bella someday if the choice were for Bella to choose Jacob, because he might not have a choice, and Edward would always be waiting in the wings, watching, hoping mm-hmm. that would happen. I was like, yes, you tell him, even if you chose, or she chose you, I'm still waiting to steal her back. An icon. And he gets so mad that he, like, leaves the tent. He, like, can't handle anything. He's
well,
like,
I also wondered, did Edward knows about the imprinting thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why he said someday you might not have a choice. It'll be like Sam and Emily, and you'll have to leave Bella, and I'll be waiting to scoop her back up, bitch. Which, like, I didn't even think about. That's a good point. Even if Bella did choose Jacob, he did an imprint on her. What happens when he imprints on someone, if that were to happen? Then Bella's fucked, and the guy she chose is no longer the guy she chose. Then
she's just lonely and sad again, and Jacob is still gonna be a piece of shit no matter what.
All right, that's all I have for this chapter.
All right, so now we are at chapter 23, which is titled Monster. Oh, man. So this chapter and onwards is, like, where I start just, like, I'm like, what's happening? So Bella wakes up and it's now daylight, and Seth joins the group at the campsite, whereas Jacob starts to head to wherever they're having the battle. Bella makes one more last minute effort to get Jacob to stay, but he starts heading down anyway. Back at the campsite, Bella and Edward talk about their 10 best nights, and it's no surprise that Edward says that all of his best moments were with Bella. One of those moments includes Edward's official proposal to Bella, which he made 2 nights ago, and before Bella even has a chance to redigest that memory, they hear Jacob make a very painful howling sound. She then realizes that Jacob was still close enough to hear their conversation, and she feels really, really bad about it. Bella tries to chase after Jacob in the woods, but she's not fast enough, and really affected by her actions, Edward offers to run after Jacob to tell him to come back so that Bella can talk to him. So Jacob returns to the campsite, and Bella apologizes profusely for not telling Jacob sooner about her engagement to Edward, but Jacob still isn't responding well to the news, and he says that he should just let the battle take its course, and if he ends up getting seriously hurt or dies in the end, it would be better for him and Bella if he's just out of the picture. And of course, Bella hates the way that he's speaking about himself, and she walks right into Jacob's trap by asking him to kiss her and promise that he'll return to her after the battle's over. So Jacob kisses Bella, and at first she's hesitant towards his advances, but suddenly something is triggered within her and she realizes that she does indeed love him. That part, I was like, what? She could feel that there was no hesitation from Jacob compared to when she kisses Edward, and she has felt right being with Jacob after all. This interaction, though, stirs up a new round of emotions in Bella, and she hates herself even more for being the cause of Jacob's pain, while also knowing that they could never be together despite how much she envisioned a potential future for them both. And that's how this chapter ends. I was like,
I hate this chapter.
My only note is that, and honestly, I don't even know like how much truth there is to this, but like I literally put that I wasn't sure if I agreed with the whole, oh, I just realized that I do actually love you because you forced me to kiss you so that you wouldn't get yourself killed on purpose while in battle. Like, I don't know how I feel about the concept that you can force a person to realize that they love you by like advancing towards them. Like, I don't know. Does that actually happen?
No, she did not realize she's in love with him. She realized that there was a man that was about to give her the D, and she's horny. She was dickmatized.
I'm gonna make it's that the fine. Title, Bella's Dickmatized.
Like, she hasn't had any relationship feels for this dude until she was trying to force herself on her boyfriend two chapters ago, actually. And now this guy is ready to just give it all up. Literally, now this guy's about to give it all up to her. And she's like, oh my God, I'm in love with him. Girl, like, no, you are not. You just want to have sex with this man.
Like, she just has like these repressed feelings that she just really wants to. She's very repressed and horny. She's very and just repressed. Really wants to act on it.
And then even after he promises that he'll stay if she kisses him, he doesn't. He goes back on his word and he leaves. The only other thing I have for this chapter is before Bella magically decides that she's in love with him, she's like trying to get him off of her. And it's saying how violent he is with her. He's like getting angry. He's like literally forcing himself on her. He's grabbing her way too hard. Yeah, he literally says to her like, are you sure you want me to come back, or did you want me to die? Like, that's so manipulative. I hate Jacob Black. Literally just, I don't want to keep reiterating that he's dangerous, but he is just the worst kind of person.
Stay away from this kind of person if you ever encounter someone like this.
Literally run
far, far away if you ever encounter someone like this, because this is not good, and it doesn't matter how long you've known this person.
I was like getting scared reading this. I was like, my hands were getting sweaty. I'm like, oh God, I'm like nervous. You're like,
survival instincts are like, this is not good, something horrible is gonna happen.
And it doesn't get much better. And it
gets worse, guys. All right, so now we're at chapter 24, which is titled Snap Decision. So Bella goes back to her little camp tent and she's sobbing on her sleeping bag when Edward appears and tries to comfort her. Note, this is going to be like one of multiple times in this entire section where Edward has to comfort Bella. But Edward reveals to Bella that Jacob actually tricked her into asking him to kiss her. And of course, Edward doesn't get mad at Bella for what she's done. If anything, he's incredibly understanding to the whole situation and tells her that Bella's only human and there are certain vacancies in her humanness that Jacob would have been able to complete. So the two of them have their conversation, and then Wolf Seth starts to get antsy from the outside of the tent. Edward basically explains that Seth just wants to be part of the action, and he gives a play-by-play of what's going on in the battlefield through Seth's thoughts, which are in turn projecting what the rest of the wolves are seeing and thinking. Suddenly, Edward catches wind that something dangerous is approaching their current situation or current destination at the campsite, and he tells Seth to head towards the woods, and Edward moves Bella to another area. And then Edward and Bella encounter Victoria and another blonde vampire named Riley. Edward attempts to defuse the situation first by reading Riley's mind and trying to convince him that Victoria is just using her and that he doesn't love her. And when that isn't successful, Seth returns and he starts to lunge towards Riley. So now a new fight begins between Seth and Riley, and then there's a face-off between Edward and Victoria. And so they're having their little scuffle, and then Bella's just kind of hanging out on the sides. At first, Bella starts to think that Seth's in real trouble because Wolf Seth starts making a lot of whimpering noises. So she takes this broken rock that's nearby and she considers injuring herself with it so that the scent of her blood can distract Riley and thus give Seth a better chance to fight, similar to the third wife story that Bella was obsessed with from a few sections ago. So Riley gets caught off guard by Bella and starts going after her, and then Edward notices and he pushes Victoria away so that he can finish Riley off, and then Seth advances and starts tearing off Riley's limbs. Riley screams for help from Victoria, but she doesn't help him, and then Victoria attempts to escape, but Edward catches her and he dismembers her body by tearing her head off and the rest of her limbs. And that's how that chapter ends. Yay, battle!
Obviously, I knew that Bella was obsessed with the toxicity of her and Jacob's relationship, but it's just so evident. Jacob is constantly enforcing all of these negative stereotypes Bella already believes about herself.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, she's going to keep running back to him because he's going to reinforce these things that she thinks, whereas Edward is constantly telling her otherwise and trying to prove her wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, she's getting mad at Edward because he didn't get mad that she kissed Jacob, and he's like, well, what do you want me to do? And she's like, call me every name you can think of and tell me how disgusting I am and say you're gonna leave me so I can grovel at your knees. And like, that's what Jacob would do, and you're projecting the toxic shit that Jacob would do onto your healthy relationship with Edward, and for mm-hmm. why.
Yeah, I forgot that this part had happened, like, just in general when I was trying to re-remember what went on in the Eclipse book. But I was like, wow, Edward is like being such a good person towards Bella. Like, he's not blaming her for what she did, and it's like trying his best to really like try to understand her, like her reasoning with what she's doing and stuff like that. And Edward's just being a good boyfriend.
I know. And then she once again is trying to force herself onto him. She's like, fight for me.
Oh yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Here, I don't care if it's cold, I don't care if I smell like a dog, make me forget Jacob Black.
Yeah,
like, why do you want to have sex with Edward in retaliation to Jacob, weirdo?
I almost forgot that part happened because I didn't put it in my summary because I was like, oh, okay.
I'm also so irritated because this is the chapter where Edward finally is like, oh my god, you are right, Victoria's coming. Why did it take 540 pages for this 108-year-old man to realize that Victoria is the one
who did all of this?
Literally, yeah. Like, it's not that hard to figure out. We do. And we're in our 20s, Edward. What's your excuse?
You're in your hundredths, Edward.
Literally. Old man.
Old man.
The only other thing I have for this chapter is that I think it's absolutely hilarious that vampire limbs can, like, move on their own.
Yeah.
Like, Riley's arm is, like, kind of rolling across the floor of the forest. That's hilarious.
Riley's arm is, like,
flopping like a fish. And Bella keeps saying that, like, white chunks are flying. I don't know why that's so funny. Like, white chunks of Riley and Victoria just flying through the air.
I kept thinking about how Seth just kept going in on Riley and, like, tearing him into pieces.
At first, whenever it first said like a white chunk fell at my feet, I was like, oh shit, what is that?
And you're then like, I remembered is it snow? It's them.
I was like, wait, did they get a skull already? That was my initial thought. Maybe I'm just dumb.
Visualizing the fight scene, and I certainly don't know how it happens in the movie because I can't remember, but I just thought it was so funny that they're just like limbs and body pieces just kind of all over in their little area that they're fighting.
Victoria's head is like tumbling through the air with all of her hair flying. Hilarious.
I'm very curious to see how this ends up looking in the movie. So now we're at chapter 25, which is titled Mirror, and both Seth and Edward start to collect the pieces of the enemy vampires, and Edward pulls out a lighter to catch all the body parts on fire. But then Bella starts sobbing from the shock of today's events, and again, Edward tries to comfort her. At first, he's worried that Bella might be afraid of him too after seeing him in attack mode, but that's actually not the cause of her concern. Edward tells Bella that she shouldn't have attempted to hurt herself with the rock to help Seth, because Seth was fine. He was just faking his death so that Seth could distract Riley. There's a really, really short time of calm between the battles, and Edward gathers from his mind reading that the battle from further away went well for them too. Suddenly, Edward is frantic because something seems amiss. There was one lone newborn that was hiding, and the vampire attempted to attack Leah, but Jacob managed to step in and deal with the newborn, but ended up getting seriously injured in the process. The wolves quickly retreated back to La Push, and Edward senses yet another problem, because of course, it never ends. For this new problem is that the Volturi are quickly approaching, and so Seth escapes and Edward takes Bella to wherever the rest of the Cullens are waiting. Bella's frantically asking questions to see if Jacob's okay, and Carlisle as well as Edward assures her that he is, but first they gotta deal with the Volturi before Bella can get any more status updates about Jacob. So the Volturi arrive and they're surprised to see that the problem was already dealt with by the Cullens, and I'm like, thanks Volturi, you did nothing. You did nothing here. They all mention the elephant in the room, that elephant being a young newborn vampire named Bree, who surrendered to the Cullens earlier on during the fight in exchange for sparing her life. One of the members of the Volturi, Jane, asks Carlisle about Bree, and after being informed of the situations, remains in the role that Bree has to face consequences for breaking the law from the Volturis. Jane asks more questions from the newborn vampire army, to asking who created them and why there was even a conflict in the first place. And after Jane's gathered all the intel from the Cullens and Bree regarding the situation, she notes that Bella is still human. Alice counters Jane by stating that there's already a date set for Bella to turn into a vampire, and then Jane has her companion Felix deal with Bree, and then Edward tells Bella to look away as Felix tears Bree's head off as punishment. And that's how that chapter.
The only thing I have is, how do you think the Volturi travels? Do you think they have like a private plane? Or like, I know they're not on JetBlue, but like, do they have a private plane? Like, who did they buy their private plane from?
Like, I think they do. Yeah, Empire? I think they might have their own private transportation, because like Volterra as a city, they manage it.
Does that mean that somewhere in the world there is a vampire plane dealer or plane salesman?
There might, but I think it's more of maybe the Volturi use their human henchmen to go about their transactions so that they can get their big ticket items.
I just want to know how'd they get there. How'd they get to Washington?
What if they just ran?
I literally thought, what if they just ran really fast across the water? Oh my god, they might have swam. I forgot. Didn't Carlisle like swim there once? What if they swam?
Oh,
can
yeah.
Can you imagine like Arrow? Well, I guess Arrow didn't come, but you know, like Jane in the middle of, I don't know what ocean. I'm bad at geology.
So part of me wants to believe that the Volturi have a private plane or a private mode of transportation to get them there. But the other half of me is like, nah, they ran there.
They swam there. I think I like them swimming and running there better. I think that's funny.
Now I'm just remembering how Carlisle swam to France.
Lyle swam to France?
And if you don't understand that reference, we're talking about early, early on in one of our episodes where that was part of what happened to Carlisle.
Check out episode Carlisle swam to France.
Yeah, episode titled Carlisle swam to France. I don't know what the number is, but it's one of those.
You do the math. The only other thing I have is that I just feel so bad for Bree. I feel like she had so much potential, especially with how much she was able to withstand Bella's scent and the fact that she was smart enough to surrender and give in. Like, she probably could have been a really good vampire. She might have even had some special powers. We don't know.
It, like, makes me wonder. So, spoiler alert, after we read or we've read through Eclipse, we're going to watch the movie, and then we're going to read a spin-off novel which has to do with this vampire Bree. But at first I thought that novel was going to be about Bree's vampire life after this battle, but since she died, I'm like, wait a minute.
Me too. I was not expecting her to die. I was very upset. I was like, no, Bree.
Yeah, I thought they, I don't know why I think the Volturi would just let her go, but I was like, oh yeah, they're not gonna harm her. She'll be fine. No, they killed her.
I was trying to remember, like, what happened to Bree after, like, I know she doesn't stay with the Cullens. Like, what happened to her? Oh, she died. That's what.
How funny would it have been if they sent her to Alaska with the Denali clan?
Of again, course.
Of always bothering the Denalis.
Then I'm like, we're sick of your shit. Not another one.
They're like, please stop. Please stop this.
Why is Jasper so against keeping Bree? Like, I get she's a newborn and their whole fight is to kill the newborns, but if there was one that surrendered and Carlisle thought that she would be able to, you know, live a life like theirs, why was Jasper so against it? Was he just like having fun killing again? He was like, we can't leave one.
Maybe he has this like hidden prejudice against newborns because his entire vampire life early on was just dominating over the newborn vampire. I don't know.
I was also like, what if he just doesn't want to be the, like, not the youngest vampire in the Cullens anymore? So when he fucks up, they can't just be like, oh, that's little Jasper. He's the youngest. They'll be like, Jasper, you need to set an example for Bree. You can't be doing that.
You can't. You gotta be better. I need to remember that, like, book Jasper is not the same as movie Jasper, because I was like, movie Jasper doesn't look like the baby of the group. Then no. Again, I forgot that. Yeah. I mean, that's possible too. It's possible that Jasper just doesn't want to give up his role as the baby who can do things badly if it happens. He's like, no, I'm the baby.
Oh my god.
All right, moving on. Now we're at chapter 26. Which is titled Ethics. And so the Cullen family and Bella return to the Cullen house, and Alice warns Bella that she still has to keep up with her end of the facade for Charlie's sake before she can go on checking with whatever's going on with Jacob. But they all try to remind Bella that, again, Jacob is okay. He just needs to recover from his injuries. So Bella returns to her house to see Charlie, and Charlie goes about asking her how the alibi sleepover / shopping trip went. Bella's like, yeah, we just got back. And her updates are pretty short and to the point, and she just tells her dad that after dinner she's gonna head to La Push to check on Jacob. Charlie says that he kept noticing really weird actions from Billy the whole time that he was in La Push for the weekend, and Charlie also tells Bella that he did see Jacob while he was still in La Push, and he thinks that Jacob's gonna be fine, all thanks to Carlisle's help and expertise. He ends their little talk by saying that he has this really weird feeling that Bella's gonna leave him suddenly, and he requests that Bella at least give him a heads up so that he can properly say goodbye before she leaves. And I was like, aw. This is like one of the few moments, like Charlie and Bella interactions, where I was like, it almost felt like getting back to the Charlie that we were like, oh, Charlie being a good dad. But like, it was just like a small moment. Anyway, Bella heads over to La Push to see Jacob, and when they meet, Bella apologizes again for not telling Jacob sooner regarding her engagement. She tells him that Edward wasn't upset when he found out that Bella and Jacob kissed, and she also tells him that Edward wasn't upset when Bella realized that she had feelings of love towards Jacob. And then Bella starts to cry again because she feels bad about the whole thing, and tells him that she is set to turn into a vampire after the wedding, and that she'll have to deal with the repercussions afterwards. And then the two say I love you to each other, and Bella leaves. That's how that chapter goes. I also don't know why is the first thing, other than like checking to see if Jacob's okay, Bonnie's okay, and stuff like that. Like, she brings up the whole engagement thing again. Like, I don't understand why that's like one of the first topics that she brings up when she sees Jacob.
Because she's so selfish.
She's like, I'm so sorry, I didn't tell you that I'm engaged to my boyfriend. Like,
she can't like fathom that there's more important things than what's going on in her life with her vampire boyfriend.
Yeah, I feel like the whole interaction when Bella goes to see Jacob is less about like Bella making sure that he's physically okay and more about just her talking about herself. And I'm like, why is this the thing you're bringing up right now?
And then he like goes on that whole weird thing about like, I'm exactly right for you, Bella. It would have been effortless for us. I was the natural path your life would have taken if it wasn't for monsters and magic. But that's not true. Bella was barely friends with Jacob before Edward left. That's like saying that Mike Newton was her natural life path. Like, she could have ended up with Mike Newton just as easily as she could have ended up with Jacob. Mm-hmm. He was just some like kid from the res at that point before Edward left her. Mm-hmm. If Edward never appeared in Forks, that doesn't change the fact that she would have looked at him like a little kid in the mm-hmm. first book and like a little brother in the second. Mm-hmm. Well, there wouldn't have even been a reason for her to go to the res.
Yeah, yeah, there wasn't a reason. Without Edward, there literally was no reason for Bella to ever, like, approach Jacob in the new moon.
Yeah, exactly. So I would argue that Mike Newton is more her natural life path than mm-hmm. Jacob is. The only other thing I have is that, like, Alice explains that Bella's mind is protected and only things that affect her body, like Jasper's powers, can actually affect her. But like, why? Like, what's so special about her mind that is just so strong that nobody can penetrate her brain? Like, that's like, did Stephanie Meyer think of that originally, or was she just like, oh fuck, there's some plot holes and I gotta stitch it up in my new book?
Maybe Bella's selfish nature is what's saving her. She only cares about herself, which is why her mind is able to, her mind is so strong that it's protecting herself because she only thinks about herself.
Interesting. I like it. Bella, you're so selfish, you're protecting yourself.
I was like, wow, who knew that your selfishness would actually help you out in the form? Because she's not affected by any of them, like, what are you, psychological type of powers, but the physical ones, she's like, oh no, maybe Bella's so selfish that it's
literally, she's so dull, she might just think of nothing. Literally all her brain thinks is vampire, werewolf, I might die.
I might repeat. Die.
Okay, I'm good for this chapter.
Okay. Well, we are approaching the end almost. We have like two more chapters left. So next is chapter 27, which is titled Needs. And Bella begins driving back to her house, but she pulls over to the side of the road to continue sobbing. I'm like, wow. Same. Mood. Eventually, Edward finds her and he tries to comfort her again. He takes over driving the rest of the way towards her house and then tells her that he's going to be waiting in her room as usual. When Bella gets back home, Charlie notices that she's really upset. And she just says that she had to talk about some really difficult topics with Jacob and then eventually excuses herself to her room. And then Bella continues crying in her room while Edward remains comforting her. She exhausts herself after some time and she falls asleep. And then when Bella wakes up, she has sort of an epiphany. She ends up telling Edward that she has to go see Alice. And when they meet up with Alice, Bella announces that she's gonna let Alice plan the wedding, which Alice is super excited about. She also kind of expected this response, and then she pulls out a wedding dress that she's already prepared for Bella. I was like, that's such an Alice thing to do. And then Edward takes Bella to their meadow after Alice runs off to tell Esme about the great news with the wedding. And there, Bella tells Edward that she wants to also inform Charlie and Renee and even her school friends about the fact that they're having a wedding. And Edward is super taken aback by Bella's sudden change of heart. And after realizing that she's doing all of this so that she can make the people around her content, he attempts to back out of his original conditions for her and then tells her that she can have whatever she wants, no restrictions. And then they like almost have sex in the meadow, and I'm like, what is going on?
So weird.
And that's how that chapter goes.
Yeah, that was so weird, him just randomly being like, never mind, let's not wait, let's have sex right now and you can turn into a vampire tonight, I'll call Carlisle. Like, that was so weird.
I was also kind of confused that she just like suddenly has this epiphany as soon as she wakes up, like went through a lot of traumatic experiences in the, you know, past few days, and then like wakes up one morning and suddenly like, you know what? Actually, I am going to let people be happy and not be as selfish this time. I was like, I don't literally buy that.
She'll literally have a big wedding for anybody except Edward. She's like, well, I guess I can't stop Alice. And I guess everybody else in town deserves a wedding. But like, I'm not doing it for you, Edward. Don't get it twisted. And it's also weird because when she has this like weird epiphany, she's saying like, well, at least my mom and my dad and my friends will know that like we're together and this is the best part of my choice and they'll know I'm happy wherever I am. Isn't that what you were just saying, that you're mortified for people to know?
Yeah,
like she was like, oh my god, it's so embarrassing, people are gonna know we're together. Wait, no, it's like the most amazing thing that everybody knows we're gonna be together. Isn't that so sweet? The girl, what? She really will like have people telling her things over and over and over until she just randomly decides one day that she's going to decide it for herself, and then it's true. Like, you could tell Bella, like, Bella, the sky is blue. The sky is blue. And she'll be like, no, I think it's green. I think it's green. And then in 6 months, she'll be like, oh my god, I had an epiphany.
The sky is blue.
I need to tell everybody my revelation. I think she's just thoroughly convinced that she is going to do the complete opposite of what people ask her to do. So if Edward wants to have a big wedding, she's not having it. But if he's fine with not having it, it needs to be the most extravagant thing that's ever hit Forks, Washington. Whatever I can do to make the man I love miserable, I will do it.
Honestly, I don't mind that kind of thinking. I'm kidding. It's pretty straightforward. It's just mostly me being like, Bella, you dumb bitch. Like, really?
So dumb.
Okay, so now we are at the final mini chapter, which is the epilogue, and it's titled Choice. So this is written in Jacob's point of view, and it starts off with him fighting with Leah about his never-ending thoughts concerning Bella. Jacob's really worried about Bella turning into a vampire, and he attempts to assure himself that she'll survive the transformation. And then he heads home, and Billy tells him that there's a wedding invitation and a letter addressed to him. So Jacob reads the letter written by Edward, and in his state of frustration, he almost breaks their table. Billy's like, watch it, son. That's our only table. But no. And then Jacob bolts out the door and transforms into his wolf form. Quill and Embry hear Jacob's thoughts and they try to join him on his little run, but Sam stops the two from following him and allows Jacob to basically run it out of his system. And then as he gets further away from a push, Jacob finds comfort in no longer hearing the thoughts of his wolf pack and wishes that he can stay in the solitude of his thoughts for much longer. And that's how the chapter ends. That's how that short epilogue ends.
I hate the whole Jacob point of view thing.
I didn't understand why that was included in there.
I know. That's weird.
Because it's not like it's giving us information that we're like, oh, I didn't know that. Like, yeah, of course we know that Jacob hates the fact that Bella's getting married. Like, we knew that.
This yeah. I think it was just weird. She was probably like, ooh, the fans are gonna love this.
Do you have any other notes for this?
The only thing I have is that I think Leah says that she needs Jacob to get over Bella because she's having dreams of kissing Bella. And I just think that's hilarious. And also, I started thinking, what if Leah like imprinted on Angela? I don't know why. I just like love it. Like, Angela deserves it.
That's just a random character to bring up.
I know. I don't know why. Literally, as soon as like she said that, I was like, I had completely just forgotten how hard this book is to read. There's so much sexual assault and so much uncomfy stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it's just glossed over so much. Even Stephanie Meyer, like, excuses Jacob. Like, I looked on her website at the, like, FAQ for Eclipse. And one of the questions was asking what the main characters, like, fatal flaws or whatever, and she was saying Jacob doesn't have any flaws and his one goal is to like save Bella's life. Does he do everything right? Heck no. But he's 16 and he's making up for it as he goes. Those who are upset by some of his tactics should consider his youth and the fact that he is, after all, right. Bella is in love with him.
What?
I'm sorry you wrote the book, but you're wrong. Like,
what the fuck?
I think we should take away author credits for Twilight and give it to us, because Stephanie Meyer does not deserve it.
What the hell?
She said he literally doesn't have flaws. Bella just, he's trying to save Bella.
We had three episodes where we very, very clearly explained that there was a lot of sexual assault and just the horrible actions that Jacob did. What do you mean he doesn't have flaws? He has a lot of flaws.
Exactly. And to say that those who are upset by his tactics should like consider his youth is once again dangerous. A 16-year-old is not a 5-year-old that doesn't know what they're doing. A 16-year-old knows what the word no means. He understands consent.
Oh wow, this really feeds into the whole like boys will be boys things where they don't put any blame on the...
Exactly.
Oh my God. People
always say boys will be boys, but boys will only be boys because you allow them to be like that.
Damn.
The only other thing I have is that I'm really having trouble with like character building because like it seems that characters are always doing something that they wouldn't do. I don't understand like how she made these characters. Like Charlie's completely different in this book. Bella just like decides that her entire personality now is gonna be self-loathing, I guess, and like hating marriage and defying everything everyone says. Mm-hmm. Like, and even Edward does stuff that he wouldn't do. I just don't understand her logic for making the character choices she does. Does she actually have a definitive like thought of what these people are, or it just reads like a fan fiction? Like,
yeah, that's literally what I was having that thought too. And it's funny because after we finished, like we read through the entire book, I read through like the credits, and there are like, so she thanks a bunch of people, and then how did they not catch this? Like, you had multiple people who were like reading through this, and they even had people who were like blindly reading this, meaning they didn't fully understand the story. And I'm like, you mean these people just read it and were like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, yeah. I feel like there should be parts that you're like, wait, that doesn't make sense at all.
I just want to know where Bella's random like self-loathing came from. Like every other page, she's like, I hate myself. I'm the worst person in the world. And I would understand if she was going through some like deep depression that she would have these thoughts, but she's not. It literally just feels like Stephenie Meyer is trying to make us love both Jacob and Edward. And how can we do that if we also love Bella? Like, she needs to be the villain so that the two men of the story can be the heroes.
I'm like, are we looking at the same book?
I really feel that when people are always saying how Edward is just so abusive and so terrible, I really am like, are we reading the same book?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, he's overprotective. He's never like pushed Bella against a wall and tried to force himself on her. Like, there's a lot worse things that people can do and they're excusing, but because that one time he told her in Twilight that she saw something that she didn't or something like that, he's gaslighting her and he's the worst. But you're gonna ignore all that because
if anything, I think Jacob's doing a lot of gaslighting.
Oh, there's so much gaslighting. Like, he's so manipulative. He's always like, oh, you don't want to fuck me, okay, well then I guess that means you want me to die. I'll go run off and kill myself.
Part of it was that I kept seeing a lot of articles saying that Edward is such a toxic person and boyfriend towards Bella. And I'm like, but he's not. He kind of redeemed himself, like, literally in the first part of Eclipse, and like continues to do what I would think are healthy things to like repair your relationship. It's Jacob who's the toxic one.
Yeah. I think they're taking Bella projecting what Jacob does onto Edward as Edward being bad, when in reality it's Jacob being a trash boat.
I really did try to think, is Eclipse actually my least favorite book within the Twilight series? And I think it is. I also think it's because I understand the problems in it more, which makes it even like, now I can really be like, yeah, Eclipse is, if I had to rank my Twilight books, Eclipse is pretty
yep
the worst. Well, if anyone out there is also reading along with us, just know that there are a lot of triggering content. And if you are not comfortable with sexual assault, we should have done like trigger warnings in the beginning of each of our episodes, because we do talk about topics that like might be triggering to some people. But yeah. Eclipse is definitely, I didn't expect that much triggering content, but oh boy, it's a lot.
Yeah, it was like really bothering me when I was reading it. I was like sweating and shaking and it was scary.
Yeah, like, so I guess if we have any final note for Eclipse, it's that there are a lot of sexual assault content and just like content that would make you uncomfortable. So that's our trigger warning. If you decide to reread Eclipse, read at your own risk or not. It's not even that good.
No, not worth it.
Just listen to our podcast if you want, I guess. But that being said, I guess that wraps up this week's episode. For our next one, we're going to be watching the Eclipse movie and talking about that. So
yay,
you can look forward to next time. Remember that you can tune in every other Monday as we fall right back into our Twilight obsession like it's 2008 again.
You can find Call in the Shots on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and your usual podcasting platforms.
Come sit with us next time at lunch for more of our sparkling personalities. Bye. Bye.